I'm gonna tell you this because I interrupted myself with a thought, but I wanted to reschedule again because I woke up so tired. But we have rescheduled this. I don't know how many times, and yeah. I was like, I can't do it.
No,
I can't
do it. Let's get it done.
No, don't just say that.
Huh?
Don't say it like it's a chore.
No, it's not a chore. Just like, you know, let's stop pussyfooting around this thing.
That's the opening of the episode. This is another episode of Whip Snap. I don't know what episode, 107, 106, doesn't matter. Who cares anymore? This is a friend of mine, Joseph Grazier.
Grazier. It's like Frazier with a G and a Z.
Okay. Did you know my middle name is Joseph?
I did not.
Fun fact. So I don't know if you know this format. Do you know the format?
Vaguely, I've listened to a couple after a few whiskeys. But I have a shit memory. Please enlighten me, sir.
Yeah. So there is no format. We kind of just talk, and then whatever's not interesting, I'll cut it out.
Like an easy can do.
Yeah. And then, most guests I have, I never have a question. I never know what we're going to talk about, but I did have one question to ask you, and we're going to transition into it smoothly. Okay. So we're not going to talk about it yet.
Okay.
But before we talk about anything, this is Joseph. You recently opened a cooking Instagram.
I did recently start it.
And I would love for you to plug it and kind of just like tell the audience what it is.
Yeah, sure, I guess. So the Instagram handle is goodcook_badchef. It's the same on TikTok, but I don't use TikTok that much because it's bad for society or worse than Instagram is.
I use TikTok.
A lot of people do. I did not my jam at all. I'm at the point where I'm actively hate posting on it. So I'll put in hashtags like Uyghur genocide. The CCP just absolutely tanks it. Like, it's so funny. It's, you know, it's just a hobby. I cook a lot. I've been cooking since I was a kid, and it was mostly like, you know, just an easy way to like, well, I'm cooking all the time, and the content itself is pretty easy to film. Cause like, you know, all I have to do is set up my phone as a camera, turn on my lights, and then just kind of cook as I normally would. And that gives me the video. Honestly, like the part that I tend to procrastinate on the most is just like editing it and posting it.
This is, I think, editing, because I edit so much, like podcasting, and just like I used to like film some shorts long ago. And I, as much as I love the final product, and then when you look at the thing, you're like, oh, I did that. It does take so fucking long to edit, and I
can only imagine, especially for, because all of my videos are like a minute or under. So like, I can't imagine doing it for an actual, like, you know, a serious video and not me dicking around on camera.
Yeah, well, for podcasting too, I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's getting tough for me to listen to my own voice, and I have to when I edit this podcast, so I listen to it one time through, edit the stuff I need to, and then I upload it and I don't ever listen to it again. And I don't know how you maybe feel that way, because I also know you play music. I don't know if you like listening to your own music when you edit cooking videos. I don't know if you like looking at your face.
I don't mind any of that stuff. I mean, I'm narcissistic enough to not necessarily mind like seeing myself on camera.
you cook, you also play music, and then you also say stand-up comedy is also like a hobby that you're getting back into again now. Yeah. Out of those three, kind of which one it's the longest one you've done? And if you could only do one of those?
The longest would be cooking, just because, I mean, I started, you know, I'd be in the kitchen with my dad helping him like snap green beans and shit when I was like, I mean, a little boy. So I've been doing that for a long time. I've been playing bass since I was 11.
Did your dad also teach you how to grill? Because that's the only thing my dad taught me.
No, my dad actually didn't. My dad didn't grill all that often. He did barbecue sometimes, you know, growing up in Texas. But I've never had the chance to properly barbecue anything myself. A proper smoker, which is the only thing you should make barbecue on. You know, an actual offset burning, you know, wood burning smoker, as opposed to one of these lazy man's fucking pellet smokers.
So you do know how to cook, because you're saying all of these things. I'm like, there's a specific way to cook a thing. Meanwhile, when I grill, I just use like a grill. I don't know things
Yeah, well, I mean, and I did, and there's a lot I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about cooking. There's always, I mean, there's an infinite amount of, you know, combination. It's ingredients you can make, and then techniques. Like, there's a lot of variability in there.
Is that hangover kicking in?
Oh, dude, it's been actually, you know, funny enough, I was driving home and I was like, oh, I got to think of like a funny way to state that I'm hungover. I actually don't feel too rough. Shockingly, I feel quite all right. I was only drinking beer last night.
Okay.
So
we went to the same party. I kind of left because I knew I needed the sleep to like do all of this stuff. I don't know how long you stayed.
I was in bed by like 3.
I came home around maybe 11:30, and I also didn't fall asleep until 3, because I just couldn't fall asleep. It was just I get in my head a lot. I don't know how often, just like with social gatherings, or maybe like because you said you do music and you do also stand up.
I play bass. I would hesitate to call that making music.
Oh, okay.
A bassist is a musician in the same sense that like water gymnast is an athlete. No, not even that. That requires more skill.
So you know how to play bass. So you know how to fish as well. You can do kind of all the things.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
How
anyone
often...
who hears that and doesn't know me is gonna be like, this guy is so fucking full of himself.
You mentioned Texas. Where in Texas are you from?
I'm from Houston originally.
Houston. You're really good friends with Robbie Janney.
I mean, that's what he says. Yeah.
Robbie was also in an episode previously. Did you guys grow up together? I kind of want to know how you guys.
Yeah, we didn't like grow up together. I mean, let's see, we would have both been like in the same school starting in like 7th grade, but we didn't actually become friends until we both did. We did improv in high school.
How often do people make fun of you for that?
Not really. Actually, it was really cool. That was the first, like, I was a super dorky kid in high school. Like, growing up, I just had, like, no self-confidence or self-esteem. And improv was, like, honestly, like, one of the first things that, like, gave me a sense of, like, oh, wow, like, this is a thing that I can do that people seem to respond well. Because, I mean, we'd get, like, shit, we would do, like, one weekend of shows every other month. And we would routinely, on the Friday night show, we would pretty routinely sell out the space. And that was a good, like, 200-300 people.
I did the same thing. I also did improv, but I think my high school, it was more sports based. So any theater you did, any stage stuff you did, they like made fun of it so much. And it still made me feel good. Like, I mean, not what they were saying, but the improv and just all of the plays, musicals, that still made me feel welcomed. But there was that other voice outside of like that voice in your head of all of these other people being like, improv is dumb. I'm like, you're just dumb because you don't know how to do it. That's what I would like to say to them. Do you remember any improv stuff that kind of stand out? Because even when you start out doing improv, there is when you first experience that moment with a fellow improviser on stage and you just like instinctually have the same thoughts constantly
you're setting up jokes for each other and you can kind of see where you're going.
Yeah, and you obviously don't plan it because it's improv.
Yeah.
Does any of this stuff, any improv maybe shows or scenes stand out for you in high school?
Not any particular scenes. I mean, we did stuff that I know that, you know, at the time I was like, this is like, wow, we're really fucking funny. And I do think in retrospect, you know, like for like 17-year-olds, like we were pretty good. We were pretty funny. We weren't bad.
Did you guys do any musical improv? There was a lot of improv games where it involves like, yeah, rhythm and music. Did you do any of those games?
A little bit. We didn't, I think maybe once or twice we would do like I don't even remember the names of the game, most of the games, but you know, we'd do like a rap battle thing occasionally. We did have
BC rap. Is that what it's called?
I'm not sure. I think we literally might have just called it a rap battle.
But
we did have one game we did, cause it was all short form.
Short form is my go-to as well.
Yeah, it's the more fun. People who do long form are weird. Improv people, it's like theater people. It's like, in high school, that was my crowd. Now, like, coming up on almost 30, like, all the people that I know that are, like, improv people are fucking unbearable. Like, I can't. we had this game we used to play called Epic for No Reason, which was really fun, where you'd be doing just a, you know, a two-man scene, And then you have a third person, like, on a DJ board. And we had this playlist full of, like, Oh Fortuna and, like, you know, all these really big, epic, like, classical music scenes, songs. So you'd be doing the scene, and that person would start the music, like, at random moments. Whenever they did that, like, whatever action you were doing, you had to, like, make it really, like, big and grandiose. That one was really fun.
But you said it was just shows, or did you compete? Because I didn't compete, but I did do shows.
We just did shows. Oh. I think the idea of an improv competition is fucking absurd anyway. It's like the most self-aggrandizing, just like, oh, like, we're funnier. It's like, it doesn't work like that.
That's also tough. So, yeah, when you lose a competition, you kind of, you're still in the group. So you have to have that mindset of, like, I'm not funny anymore, but I have to, because I lost. But I have to be in this thing still. The only question I had, there really is no transition. I think we briefly talked about it and then we got sidetracked. How's your ADHD?
Huh?
How's your ADHD? Because I feel like I
think I'm relatively mentally normal and healthy.
Oh, that's cute. All right. So this question I have, it says, we mentioned, like, you're doing stand-up again and you play the bass. So the question was, also being a stage performer, and we kind of briefly touched on this, how often do you, like, get in your head after a performance? Doesn't matter what you're doing.
Not as much anymore. I mean,
what did it look like?
When I was in college and I was still really serious about the stand-up thing, I was doing it a lot, you know, like five mics a week or so. Which still isn't even anywhere approaching what you should be doing, but, you know, for a college student, not bad. It wasn't even so much the performances, just because, like, the first thing you got to learn is, like, and the thing about stand-up that makes it so weird is it's the only skill that getting better requires repeated public failure. Like, anything else, like, you know, let's say if I want to teach myself guitar and play Wonderwall at an open mic or some shit, you know, if I put in an infinite amount of practice hours and sat in my room alone and just recorded myself playing and singing it over and over and over again, you know, you could, pretty much anyone with enough time could refine that down to, like, an acceptable performance, you know, be like, okay, yeah, I'm on tune, I'm in rhythm, it works, like, it's not going to be bad. Stand up, like, it's, you don't know if something you've written is funny until you do it. You get, your ratio gets a little better, like, you know, you'll have more hits than misses after a while, but ultimately, like, you know, you could write, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it too, like, I'll write a joke that I'm like, wow, this is funny, this is going to go well, and it gets, like, nothing, and then I'll have, like, little throwaway jokes that I'm like, I really don't think this is going to be good, but I should try it anyways, and those will hit, you know, more than you think.
Yeah.
So I never, all that to say, I never really got in my head about my jokes, you know, failing. It was more, and part of the reason I don't do stand-up anymore is, you know, with that or any other passion-based industry, you have to want it more than anything else. Like, you have to be okay with doing nothing but that. Like, I think that if, you know, if I had devoted my life to stand-up comedy and, you know, did the full grind, you know, throw yourself into it to the absolute maximum degree, like, I think I probably could have gotten pretty good and seen some degree of success. I'm not saying I'd be famous or anything. But I think I could have reached working comic level, but it was a realization of, like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want this to be the only thing in my life, even if it were all to go excellently. And before I had that realization, I would get very down on myself for not doing enough work. You know, I was doing five mics a week and I was like, well, I really should be doing like 10. That led to a lot of self-loathing of just like, oh, like, I'm just lazy. Like, I can't bring myself to do what I need to do. And it was really honestly a huge relief to be like, oh, this isn't what I want to do with my life. Like, I don't need to hate myself for not being okay with doing nothing but this all the time.
That's wild, because I know I also have the voice in me of, like, I'm lazy. If I'm not doing, not necessarily not just stand up, but if I'm not doing stand up, if I'm not writing something, or if I'm not kind of just doing five things I really like doing, then I get very depressed or I get very lazy. But being on stage for one of them, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 or just 2 minutes trying stuff, it is just, like, for me, the most cathartic thing.
It's nice. It's nice to go up and just speak your mind.
Yes. And also just trying stuff is the scariest thing, but my favorite feeling on the planet is, like, trying out a joke and you know it kills, trying it again with a different audience, you know it kills, so then you found a thing.
Yeah,
like all by yourself is it's just like, and it does suck that once you do a set and you're like, okay, now I got to do completely new jokes, it is kind of like starting over. Well, like all of the nerves are still there. Oh, they're back again. And it is what you said. Well, like the longer you do it, you have a better understanding. So more likely than not, you will get laughs more than not.
But still, it's you're always going to bomb. And
yeah.
And the weird thing about comedy is it's you can't. Maybe this is just me, but I found that like I could never force a complete writing session of a joke, in the sense that like I think that for me, who like you know I enjoy like observational humor,
right?
It's I forget who exactly said it.
Seinfeld?
It might have been like Jeff Fox, huh?
Seinfeld or Shakespeare? Those are the two that came to my head. OJ?
Oh no. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. there's this quote by, I think it's Jeff Foxworthy, who said something along the lines of, he's like, everyone has the thoughts that comedians say. Like, everyone has those feelings floating around in their brain. It's just that comedians are better at identifying them. And it's like, you know, I know every good joke I've ever written stems from, like, just, like, a seed of a thought that, like, pops into your head, you know, throughout your day-to-day life. So like my system is always like you'd have those ideas, you'd write them down somewhere, and then when you sit down for a writing session, you're not like coming up with new ideas, you're taking those seeds of thought that you had and expanding on those.
So for your, when you go on stage, when you talk about something, you have the idea and then you just talk about like the, it's not written, is that what you're saying, on stage?
Yeah, well, not necessarily on stage. Like I do like to write the joke before I get up there. It's just that, like, I can't go from zero, like, no material to material, like, just as a, like, that can't be a one-sitting thing. Like, if I already have my ideas, if I have my seeds of, like, you know, I'm sure you've noticed that, like, you'll have a thought and be like, oh, that's, like, that's a funny thought. I don't know what the punchline is or, like, what the joke is there, but I know there's something here.
I actually can't do that anymore because a lot of my jokes, I will come up if I'm like drinking or if I'm high or stuff like that. And then I would sober up and I read them back at myself. And if they're still funny when I'm sober, then I'll keep it. But I used to just have a setup when I was high or something. And I was like, I'll figure out the punchline later. And then when I sobered up and I read that setup, I had no idea where I was trying to go.
Yeah. All the time you'll write down like four words that make no sense. You're like, I'll know what it means.
Yeah. I have no, I think one of them was just like, it just said my dad, my body crack. That was all in the setup. And I don't remember where I don't know what I was talking about.
Oh, I've had those. I was going through
crack.
I was going through some of my old notes from, you know, like college when I was still doing it actively and just reading through like old bits I had never done. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like,
I think I started when I was 16 and my mom got me a little notebook and that notebook is completely filled with jokes. And I think maybe I've done four of those jokes. I'm reading them back and I'm like, oh, I hate all of this. I love looking back at it and being like, oh, I would never think of this stupid joke again.
Yeah. That might be a fun thing to do though. You know, like if you go in with that setup and like with that acknowledgement of like, I've been doing stand-up since I was 16, and this is my high school joke book, and we're going to go through this thing. You know,
like, oh, hey, I feel that, like that, I would, that would go nowhere.
it would be one of those ones you do at, like, a shitty L.A., like, comedian's mic. You know what I mean? Where, like,
yeah.
People in the crowd are also other comics waiting for stage time.
I feel like that's almost every open mic. Well, that's the worst thing about it. You're just performing for other comedians.
Dude, L.A. sucks. I fucking hate that city. Detroit with movie stars.
What is it?
It's Detroit with movie stars. Like,
I've never been to Detroit.
I've never been to Detroit either, but I know what the general stereotype is. And LA seems to fit that to a T.
Okay. When you're performing in front of, this is what I was gonna say about the stand-up thing, and then I got sidetracked. What was it? Did you know really quick? I had an ingrown toenail.
I did not know that. I was about to ask what the fuck happened to your toe.
So in 2021, which is the first time I did camp, which is when me and Joseph met, I had an ingrown toenail. I clipped it incorrectly. So then I had to go to like urgent care and get it removed. Cool. And then when it grew back incorrectly.
Ugh.
And it's been happening for a good 5 months. Almost 3 years where I would have to get it removed because it constantly grows back incorrectly. And so 2 days ago, I got it removed again. Dude, this podcast is fucking hilarious. It's wild. And then, so now it's just half gone. And so I accidentally dropped the laptop on my foot a second ago. So that's a good note for anybody listening. If you clip your toenails, go straight and don't go at an angle.
And also just clip your fucking toenails.
That too.
Yeah, I feel like that one gets, and speaking from my own experience, I put that one off more often than I should. I'm good about my fingernails, but like.
Dude, we met, there's some coworkers at the job I have now, and they love feet, and it blows my mind.
People who like feet are fucking weird.
It's disgusting.
I don't want kink shame, but that's odd. Like, you do you, but what the fuck happened?
But yeah, there would be people here that would just like lock, how like people lock hands, but they would do it with feet. And last week, someone, I was wearing socks and we were talking about feet for a second, and they were like, hey, Greg, pull out your feet. Let me pop your feet. And no one has ever said that to me, I think, in my life.
Yeah, no, I can't say that if that's ever encountered that sentence.
Let me pop your feet. I can't pop anything. All of the stress I carry is on my back, and I can't even pop my back.
Oh, I don't even like to think about my back.
Did you ever go to a like a professional like masseuse or massage?
No, actually, every time I go to Vegas, I tell myself I'm gonna get like a nice fancy massage. I would do a massage. Massages sound cool. I know some people have recommended chiropractors to me, and I'm like, I don't trust those fucking quacks.
Oh, I've done chiropractor too. That's funny because they crack. You had something there.
Huh?
You say chiropractors and you don't believe in their quack? And
then They're just, it's all quackery.
Oh, that's a better title. I also did chiropractor and stuff, and it was never Vegas. It was all like LA stuff. But the first time I went to Vegas, the second time I went, it was the very first time I gambled in my life, which was last year. And I did roulette, and I don't know how to play roulette, and I lost, I think, $170.
Roulette's no fun. Next time I play this year, are you working summer?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this year in Vegas, you come play craps.
I don't know how to do
that. Yeah. Right. It's easy. I'll teach you. It's okay. The best game in Vegas.
I do know how to play Texas Hold'em. I was trying to find a table with people that play Texas Hold'em.
Oh, see, that I wouldn't fuck with in Vegas. Because I wouldn't. People who play like poker in Vegas know how to play poker.
Oh, like, I'm not going to lie.
They're really good.
I've never got the opportunity. My dad taught me, and I used to watch a lot when I was a kid. And I also have the face of like someone who doesn't think they know what they're doing. So I would use that.
Yeah.
I'm good at swindling. That's
why you so is everyone in Vegas. You good luck with that. Let me know how it goes.
Okay. No, I really want to
fucking Texas Hold'em table in that city.
I was just trying to find a plain Texas Hold'em table, but all of them was Ultimate Texas Hold'em, and I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Half the poker variants they have in Vegas make no sense to me. I remember watching, God, I remember in 20, it's like 2018 or 2019, walking down to the lobby at the Flamingo at some ungodly hour. It's like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I saw Voyage sitting at like 3-card poker or something like that.
Oh, Voyage is a person we used to work with.
I saw him sitting at 3-card poker alone, and he had been there for quite some time, clearly. I remember walking up, I was like, how you doing? And he's like, down a few grand. And I was like, oh, fuck, man.
Although I did have a, the night I lost 170, a friend of mine, Mitch, he won 700 playing roulette.
That's the worst. I hate when my friends win.
And it made me so upset because he was trying to teach me how to do it. So I'm like, how come we now both know the same information? And you're the lucky one. It did piss me off.
After a while, you just gotta embrace bombing. It happens to everyone. Like it's, I don't know. And that's why like I'm grateful for my time doing stand up. Like working in sales now, it's like, you know, when I was interviewing for my current job, you know, I literally told my boss, it's like I used to do stand up a lot. Like cold calling doesn't freak me out. When you've been like booed off stage and like swore at and just gotten vitriol thrown at you.
Oh, dude,
it's good for your like development of your soul.
People threw stuff at you? Is that what you said?
No, I mean that's an overstatement. But, okay, you know, just like when you get just fucking torn apart for bombing on stage, like you do that enough times and it gives you like a degree of resilience.
I think I did get lucky because the very first open mic I did. I was 17, and the very first joke that came out of my mouth, it was booed by an old guy. Did I ever tell you what it was?
No.
It was, I think I said, this is my impression of 9/11, and I knocked down a water bottle, And I go, that wasn't even the whole impression. If you want to see it again, give me a bottle. Or if you want to see the whole impression, give me another bottle. And some guy, it was maybe like 6-7 people. Some guy just goes, boo.
Oof.
And then when I left, so I had to continue after that. The very first joke I've ever done going on stage, I had to continue for another 10 minutes. And I don't remember a lot of laughs, but I remember leaving and the bouncer, as I was leaving, or the security guard was like, hey, man, that was a really good set. And that's all I needed to continue.
That's right. Well, that's when, you know, like when I was doing it, like I was always like, play to the bartender, you know?
Yeah.
Play to the employees. Like, I don't give a shit about these, especially in LA. It's like, I don't care about these douchebags. Fucking.
I actually, the same night, I think the same, no, not the same night, but the same place, maybe a year later, I was, there was a bartender there and I said a joke about my dad. And let's say his name is Kevin. And the bartender goes, yeah, fuck Kevin. I'm like, oh, do you know my dad? And she just goes, no, but, you know, fuck Kevin. And I'm like, oh, okay. If you don't know my dad, stop talking. And she did not laugh. The owner was busting out laughing. He could not. He just kept laughing. And throughout the entire set, I was just like glancing at her eye line. And she was just not having it at all. She hated it. And I thought it was so funny. And I'm getting much better at that, like, crowd work stuff. I'm better written for sure, but crowd work is also fun as well.
Oh, I hate crowd work.
It's not my favorite, but I like, it's like the improv in me, I think. Yeah,
no, for sure. And if I was funnier, I'd probably like crowd
work. Now I'm just a man who knows how to fish. Did you ever go fishing?
I mean, I've been fishing. I grew up, you know, right on the coast in the South. So like I have fished. I know how to, you know, I know how to cast and whatnot. But I was never super into it. Like I couldn't tell you shit about lures or anything like that.
When you fished, did you actually cook them? Because my family did it for sport, and I don't like that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, that's any time I've gone fishing, the goal is to eat this fish. I mean, I'm really into food. So like, obviously, first off, fresh fish is really good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lose the chance to eat that. And second off, I don't get sport fishing. That in no way to me is appealing. It's.
Or just sport anything. I'm like, you're proud that you killed a thing. And then you tell people that you're proud that you killed the thing.
Yeah. Well, especially if it's a fish, you know what? Like, hey, yeah. If you fucking killed a lion, like. That's a little badass. I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's cool. But if we had more lions, you know,
well, back in Kansas, I'm from Kansas. We my uncles would hunt a lot of deer, and they would eat it, which is good.
Yeah, deer's great. Deer's
I've never awesome. Actually had it.
Deer's really, really good, man.
Dude, one time I'm gonna keep this in because I don't talk to her anymore. But I had an ex years ago where I bought lamb at the store, and I've never cooked lamb before, and it was in the I don't know where you're supposed to. I'm assuming you're supposed to put it in the freezer. I probably are you supposed to before you cook it when you buy it?
What do you like? It? I mean, you put it in the freezer if you're not going to cook it right away.
Yes, correct. So yeah, so I put it. I put it in the freezer, and then one day I was like, I'm going to cook this, and I kept it out. So I took it out of the freezer, let it thaw. Decided I did not want to eat it. I changed my mind, so I put it in the fridge, and I probably left it there for maybe a week.
Oh.
And I think, yep, it was bad. Maybe not a week, but it did expire. Regardless.
Oh, how could you do that to lamb?
I didn't even it's think so about good. It. I know, bro. Peep is like,
man. Like man, that kills me. That's like my favorite meat, lamb and duck. All the
but
cute
I feel
ones.
Like Bo Peep is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was gonna sing to that bitch. I had it back in my fridge, and then my ex was, my girlfriend at the time came over, and she was hungry, and all I had was the expired lamb. So I cooked it for her.
Oh no!
And I put, yeah, I did.
You're a bad boyfriend.
Well, when I was 20, yeah, this was 7 years ago. I think I'm okay. Also, yes, I was. But I seasoned it really well. I say really well, like it wasn't tasting bad.
Well, at that point, if it's expired, you're not seasoning it. You're covering it up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was.
You're
doing.
You're strategically hiding it.
And she ate it. And she said it was good. And I don't remember if she had a stomach ache or not or anything, but this was a secret that I've never told. And then I'm finally telling it now.
Hey, if we're talking food secrets, I actually
put a kumquat in your butt.
Huh?
Did you put a kumquat in your butt?
No, it's a cucumber. Guys, a few summers ago, we had a head counselor. I don't think you would have known him. He was before your time. It was pre-COVID. And he was vegan. Yeah,
yeah. Greg, you weren't born during COVID.
And he was vegan. And gross. I was running culinary at the time. And so I had made him some food. I was like, hey, man, I made some green beans for you. They're vegan. Because I kept, you know, my green bean recipe has bacon in it. And I cut the bacon out. And I was like, this way I can give it to, like, the vegetarians and vegans and whatnot. And it wasn't until after I gave him the bowl and he started eating it, I was like, oh, fuck, there's chicken stock in that.
Did he notice?
I no, he didn't notice. Okay. No one would know. No vegan would notice. Fucking kidding. Do you have any idea how many restaurants probably have chicken stock and butter and shit in their vegan dishes?
Oh, that's
not
okay. Yeah.
No, actually, that's silly. But any reputable restaurant would not do that.
We can cut that out.
No, you can keep that in. I don't care. but you know, he didn't notice, and I've never told him. I never will. I mean, that guy was kind of an ass, anyways.
Has there been a diet that you've tried to do and you're like, I can't even, because I tried, I no joke, when I was 12, tried to be vegan, like for a good maybe day, and I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, I think I tried to be vegetarian when I was in elementary school, and that maybe got me through one meal.
You tried to be vegetarian through middle school and then you grew up. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, not through. I mean, like one day.
No, grew up. You got old. You stopped acting like it had kid thoughts.
Yeah.
You're like, I got to eat meat.
Yeah, one meat's also, it's really good. Factory farming sucks, but it ain't going to go away because I stop anything. I mean, the planet's going to die by the time we're all dead. Anyways, who cares?
Dude, this podcast is hilarious. It's wild. What's your favorite meat?
It's a tie between lamb chops and duck breast.
I've never had duck breast.
It's really, really, really fucking good. It's technically it's like red meat, so you cook it rare. It's really good. And duck has a special place in my heart. When I was a kid, the first dish I ever ate, because I would like food, but the first thing I ever ate that I was like, wow, this is like really good and like interesting, as opposed to just like, I like mac and cheese. my dad and I were in a restaurant in New Orleans and I had duck carpaccio. If you've never had carpaccio, it's seared. But like seared on the outside, but raw in the middle, like thinly sliced meat.
Okay, I think I've seen that. Oh, I'm thinking about a Harry Potter spell. It's one of those.
Yeah,
carpaccio.
It does kind of sound like that.
Yeah,
I should probably head down the hill around like 11 ish, or sorry, 1 ish.
Oh, okay, okay.
A little out of it.
I was gonna say we'll probably go for another maybe 25 minutes, and yeah, then we'll go. Right,
I'm easy.
Okay, I'm easy. Did you ever tell a girlfriend that?
I mean, I say it all the time. But
just in general, are you cheap?
Because like it, you know, it's just like I'm easy. You know, I'm not too stressed. I am also easy.
How good does it feel when you get a compliment like you're very chill, you're very easygoing? That's my favorite thing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, compliments in general are good. I like having my ego stroked in every aspect. You know,
I do, but I don't know how to handle it, so I'll tell them to shut up. But I need to stop doing that because that moment is for them. It's not about you.
That's very zen of you.
Very sin.
Zen. Z-E-N.
I'm trying to be zen. I think my zen was zen. I'm trying to be one of the Z's. My favorite compliment that I got was when I would think it was like 19. I was a cashier at Target and I'm just doing my job. And then someone, another coworker came up to me and they were like, Greg, do you smoke weed? And I said, sometimes, but not a lot. Why? And they go, because you walk around very chill. And I'm like, that is the nicest thing someone has ever upset. And then I hit him because again I can't take compliments. And then my other favorite compliment, I don't know how many compliments that stick in your head or ones that stand out, but my other one that stands out for me is someone I think like 2 years ago, they just came up to me. I think I was just trying to be myself. I was comfortable, everybody around me was nice, so I was just trying to be silly. And then someone said I'm like a walking TV, and I don't know if they were trying to insult me, but I liked it. Well, like you would flip channels. I was seeing it as like you would flip channels and you don't know what to expect, but you're entertained with any channel.
That's a compliment with multiple layers.
Yeah, that's how I took it. And I was like, oh, that's so, that was, and I tell myself that a lot. I'm like, if I'm in a bad mood, I'm like, no, I'm still a walking TV. does any of them stand out to you? Or even better question, any insults that you've been insulted? Because I feel like we can laugh about insults now.
Yeah.
Either one. I know, what was it? My sister likes to, it's not necessarily a relationship thing, but my sister likes to make fun of my nose. Just a bit. She just out of the nose, because she's 12 or 13.
So oh, she doesn't, well, yeah. The 13-year-olds are terrible people.
But she goes, you used to have a, big nose, huh? I'm like, that was actually really funny, but you can stop. So do any of them, any compliments or insults stand out to you?
Let me think.
Thrown at you.
No compliments really stand out to me. Aside from, I do enjoy when women in particular compliment my hair. That is very nice.
They say it's luscious.
No, well, they never say that. It's more of just like, oh my God, your hair is so curly. You're curled. And that's very gratifying. Cause when I was younger, and my hair started curling up when I had puberty, I did not know what to do with it. Like I had looked like a dirty cotton swab. I could kind of do it right now because I haven't showered today. Like full on, like way up there. So as an adult now, when I get compliments on it, I'm like, thank you. Worth the middle school trauma.
Any insults that were thrown your way?
Oh man.
Especially, I think it might be easier to go back to a place where.
Well, I do have one.
Okay.
One time in college, me and one of my best friends, Duncan, were hanging out, and in college I smoked a lot of pot. I was way too much pot.
Did he introduce you to donuts?
No, he did not. I don't even remember how this came up, but we were eating lunch, and I don't think he meant it as mean as it came out.
He's like, you're fucking ugly, huh?
No, he said, he's like, Joseph, you're just defined by your laziness. And it was like, it got cut deep, man. That one, like, that still sits with me sometimes. And I don't think I'm lazy, but that one, like, oh, man, I was pissed. I left the restaurant. I was like, I can't right now.
Everybody growing up, they're not necessarily wrong, but I would just constantly be lazy. And I don't think I'm lazy, but I think I'm now accepting that I need lazy days and I need to forgive myself.
Oh yeah, everyone needs those days. And it's also like, I don't think it's not necessarily laziness so much as, you know, it's
a mental break.
You need the right thing to apply your effort to. Like, I'll work my ass off, man. I mean, you know, I work in summer, crazy hours, or like working in kitchens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I can do that when it's required of me. But I do have a hard time convincing myself to put in an excessive amount of effort if I feel like it's bullshit.
I feel like I only know how to do maybe 4 things in life, but outside of that, I am just, I don't,
okay,
I,
that's
I,
most people.
Yeah. So I'd love to cook, but I can't do it. I'm just good with pasta. I like pasta because you experiment with so many different ingredients and stuff.
Well, anyone can cook. Cooking's not hard.
You saw Ratatouille recently.
Like it is, but it's not difficult.
We're both Ratatouille fans. Anyone can cook.
Yeah.
I tried to rewatch Ratatouille, and then I got to the part where they make Ratatouille. Have you tried Ratatouille? Because I don't like it.
The dish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had it before. It's okay. Because the thing you see in the movie is not, it's not actually technically Ratatouille. It's based on a dish called Confit Bialdi, which is like a fancy version of Ratatouille. It's like almost, I don't want to say deconstructed, but it's because the traditional dish is just basically a vegetable stew.
The
thing where you like, you know, you have like the shingled thin layers that you've mandolin sliced, and like, you know, the way they serve it with like a nice little stack and the needful chive on top, like that's not technically, it's a Ratatouille inspired dish.
I like how Will making fun of the dish, how like it's not the actual thing, but we're completely forgetting that rats also can't talk. I think
that's true. They also can't. The rats can't talk, and none of them sound like Patton Oswalt.
Did you ever see Secret Life of Pets?
No. No, but I do love Patton's in that, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. So what was it? I think yes. Louis C.K. was the voice of the dog, the main dog in the first movie, and then everything went down with him when the second one came out. So then Patton Oswalt took his place.
If you got to replace him with somebody, I mean, I love Patton was my first favorite comedian.
I tried to watch his newest special on Netflix. I don't know what it's called.
His newest stuff doesn't have quite the same punch. But go back and, like, if you ever listen to the album My Weakness is Strong or Finest Hour, those are both, like, absolute top-tier comedy albums in my book.
It sucks because I feel like a lot of the comedians that I like, their best stuff is, like, the first or the second special.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's normal. Like, because the human brain, like your creative, your ability, like your creative output peaks at something on like, you know, your mid late 20s.
Yeah.
Like that's why, like, you know, the South Park is a good example, which I still enjoy South Park.
I love South Park.
Still generally pretty good, but you know, the sheer quality of jokes and like creativeness will never be what it was back in, you know, for me, golden era South Park will always be like the George W. Bush years.
Like, oh yeah.
The best seasons of South Park were the 8 years George W. Bush was in office. Nothing to do with him, but just that's the way it, you know, the time worked out.
You watch South Park and you're like, I miss Bush.
No. I really missed Bush.
Or do you watch George Bush speeches and you're like, I really want to watch South Park?
I miss laughing at him. that part was fun. But man, I that was the first politician I ever learned to hate.
I don't know anything about him. Otherwise, he needs to know how to shave. I think also another reason why South Park isn't the greatest now is because you have to. I love shows that you can just put on any episode. South Park now, it's a continuation of the previous episode.
Yeah, and I'm tired of the serial. I respect that they tried it, but I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. I miss one-off silly episodes.
Although that,
like, not everything has to be social satire.
Yes. Although,
like, when they hit, it's great, but it doesn't need to be. Like, I'm perfectly happy watching a South Park episode about poop jokes.
I still love. I think poop is so funny. Although I think when Stan's dad in South Park, when you realize he's Lord, the musical artist, I thought that idea was so fucking funny.
I thought that one was good.
Yeah. But my favorite episode of all time is the fish sticks.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I mean, that's a historic episode. I think my favorite might be, it's always so hard to pick one, but I usually come back to, it's a pretty early episode. It's the one where they're trying to return the Lord of the Rings DVD to the Blockbuster.
Oh, that is a good one.
No, that one I think is still just, it's just so perfectly written. It's because South Park's at its best when it's just, you know, the kids being kids.
Do you like to write a lot?
Not a ton. I used to. I do like to write now and then just because I think it's enjoyable and it's good for my brain and it's good to make things.
I saw a TikTok about the South Park creators talking about writing, and they were like, if you're writing a story or a pilot or a movie or anything, and you're writing down beats and plot points, if you say this happened and then this happened, if you say this happened and then this happened, you're not going to go anywhere.
But yeah, it has to be but or then.
Yeah,
or but or so.
But or therefore, yeah. Well, you saw the video.
I've seen that, but yeah. Well, when I was doing a lot of writing and when I was really into comedy, I was obsessed with Matt Stone and Trey Parker. I mean, they're two of the best, just pure story writers in like the 30-minute, you know, animated television format.
I just saw online that next year they're coming out with a musical, like a movie musical.
Another one.
What other one did they? Oh, well, Mormon.
Well, they did Mormon, and then The Cannibal the Musical way back when was a film musical.
Oh, I didn't even know they did that. But no, I guess they're making another one, and it's with I gotta look this up really quick because it's with a rapper, and I don't want to get racist. Oh,
I do know Kendrick Lamar. I do know. What yeah, you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought that idea is so funny. But I'll watch anything they do. You know they're replaying the South Park movie in June in movie theaters.
No shit. Yeah, I might have to go see that.
Is there a new movie you saw recently that you're like, oh, that one actually surprised me?
Oh, God, no. I think the last time I saw a new movie was probably like Barbie.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
I cry a lot. I definitely cried at that movie. I feel like, oh my. I'm getting so upset at myself. Sorry, there's a dick in my throat, guys. The last movie I watched, and I still think movies are so good. I love scary movies. So if I love a scary movie, I'm just going to go rewatch it again in the movie
theater. What's your favorite horror movie?
The original Scream.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. I like Scream.
You went, oh, actually, you know.
I'm a coward. I'm awful at horror. I fucking hate horror movies. But they're, with some exceptions. Scream is good. I like Midsommar.
I love Midsommar. The first time I watched it, hated it. And then I watched the director's cut. And I don't know if you've seen the director's cut.
I didn't even know there is a director's cut.
It's an extra 40 minutes.
Ooh.
And the movie's already long, and I watched it, and I like it. I like it so much more. I wish it was just that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that intrigues me. Ari Aster's a hell of a director.
Do you like Beau Is Afraid? Have you seen Beau Is Afraid?
No, I haven't yet. I heard it's good. I know Robbie liked it. I think Robbie said he liked it. And I usually trust his opinion with films for the most part, as long as he doesn't get too artsy-fartsy. Like, he's in love with the... Oh, God, is it... Who did Macbeth? The Coen brothers, or like Ethan Coen's Macbeth came out a few years ago.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
The black and white one. Yeah, I tried to watch it with him. Fuck that movie. I'm too dumb.
I also just don't. Yeah, I don't know Shakespeare.
No, and I did, no.
Which is something you should know if you're trying to make it into like the film industry. But I can't. Did you? You're right. Hey, yeah, yay! Title of episode. Ready? Fuck Shakespeare. There we go. Fuck
Shakespeare.
Yeah. Was it Shakespeare?
What, Macbeth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I not actually. I mean, Shakespeare was, you know, obviously hugely influential, but I...
Nope, he sucks.
Gotten it, but I also don't like live theater.
Interesting. I don't mind it, but when I went to film school, the acting class that I was in, there was a night where they took us all to a play, and I feel like when it comes to artsy movies, depending on the movie, I'm okay with, but if it's an artsy play, it's so much worse. It's shittier. No. I've never walked out of a play. I don't know. I don't remember the title, but there was a scene at the very end where there was like five guys and they were, they were giving the metaphor or the illusion that they were fighting, but instead they just hugged each other and blood came pouring down.
Yeah, no, I can't. It's like that Simpsons joke where Yoko Ono orders the drink at the bar. Like, it's just so, like, self-congratulatory. Like, yeah, look how fucking artsy and weird we are, man.
Wait, what's that? I don't know the joke. What's the joke?
Oh, it's like a famous Simpsons joke. Yoko Ono is in a bar with Ishida Moe's and Barney. And Barney orders a beer and Yoko Ono orders, I think it's like a single plum floating in perfume served in a man's hat. Like... Just top tier Simpsons writing. This is like, for, you know, season 7.
I binged all of the what's it called, the scary episodes where they're satirizing. Yeah, I binged all of those. They're so good. But actually, in English class in high school, the very first day, my teacher showed us the Nevermore, Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, the Ravens.
Yeah,
I think it's like the first Treehouse of Horror is from.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. But there was an episode, I don't think it was Treehouse, but I just remember a joke that stood out from The Simpsons, maybe season 5, season 6. You might know. I feel like you know. But Marge, the whole family is at this candy convention, sweet tooth convention, and Marge sits down on a bench and takes out a piece of celery, and a cop comes by, and he says something like, ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to put some sugar on that, or you're going to have to leave. Or something like that, but I thought that was so funny.
Simpsons is great, man. I mean, I'm usually more of a Futurama guy.
I've never seen it.
That Futurama. I really like animated comedies. Futurama, like King of the Hill, both.
I saw, yeah.
Phenomenal.
I think what turns me off of like shows like that, Futurama, maybe more specifically, I can't stand the fandom, and the fandom pulls. Like I tried to watch Rick and Morty. It was like, oh, it's good. And then everyone's saying it's amazing. And I'm like, well, then it's not. Now I don't like it.
Yeah. No, the fandom definitely turns you on. Rick and Morty, especially. Like, I don't know what it is about that show that got. Because I do think Rick and Morty is pretty funny and generally well written. But you've got so many, like, 14-year-olds who clearly don't get. Like, they're finding the wrong jokes the funniest.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't get it.
They don't get it.
Which is a bummer, because I do think it's generally a pretty funny show.
Did you ever watch, since you like animated shows, did you ever watch Smiley Friends and or Happy Tree Friends?
No, I couldn't do that. I mean, I'd seen them as a kid, but that shit's gross.
I thought it was so funny.
No, and I was a big Newgrounds kid when I was younger. So I've seen all the fucked up Flash animations out there. But I never found Happy Tree Friends enjoyable.
Smiley Friends?
I can't say I've tried that one, but I'm assuming it's of the same idea.
It's not it's not like bloody or anything, but every character is a different type of animation.
Oh, and that's cool.
I don't like it because it's like I'm looking at, I don't know, I get overstimulated looking at all of that stuff. And it does have the same humor as Rick and Morty, I think, where like it feels like a conversation as opposed to like written.
Yeah.
Which is a nice feeling, but I don't know. There's some animation I just can't get behind. Is animated movies your favorite Is Scary your least favorite and animated movies your favorite?
No, Scary's my least favorite for sure. Animated, no, I prefer animated TV. I mean, I like Miyazaki films and, you know, stuff like that. But no, my favorite, I don't know, I usually like a good drama, like a good mobster movie. Really.
Oh, I gotta get into those.
I love mob, like Goodfellas is awesome. And I also have a soft spot in my heart for like stupid action films.
Someone just showed me the John Wick movies.
They're awesome.
The newest one. Well, actually, I didn't see John Wick 4, I don't think, but John Wick 3 was my favorite so far.
John Wick movies are good. Die Hard is good.
Never seen Die Hard.
Die Hard's pretty good. I like Die Hard. And then, those 80s high concept, like Terminator. Like,
dude, I've never seen Terminator.
Oh, you're missing out. That one, like.
If you think I'm missing out now, I've never seen Godfather.
Nah, overrated.
Okay, cool.
Overrated. Godfather's, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not as good as everyone acts like.
I remember they made fun of it in the Barbie movie about, like, guys love to show their girlfriend's Godfather and then talk throughout the entire movie. I'm like, dude, can't relate. This is awesome.
No, that's, my equivalent for that is Whiplash. Like Whiplashes, which I know. Yeah, I know. Funny.
I love Whiplash, though.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite movie. That and Dodgeball.
Dodgeball is very funny. Oh, my gosh. I got to rewatch Dodgeball.
I think Dodgeball is the best of the mid-2000s comedies.
Oh, that's tough.
I think Dodgeball beats Anchorman.
Is it the same era as Superbad?
Yeah, kind of. Superbad might give it a close run for its money.
I was going to say Superbad.
I find Dodgeball a little funnier.
That's fair. I think they're trying to make a sequel.
To Dodgeball?
Yeah.
I fucking hope they don't.
It sucks too, because all of these like sequels of movies, like the Beetlejuice 2 trailer came out. I think it looks good. I'm going to see it, but it's not going to come close to the first one.
And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? I don't know. It's just,
Every time
I do something like that, I just feel it's like the new Star Wars movies. Like they feel insulting. It feels like they just think the audience is a bunch of fucking dumb hicks, which admittedly they are. but like, I just can't. I don't know. It feels like such a like. Oh, you like this thing, right? Like you'll pay for this. You'll like it. Look, it's characters you like, and I'm just like, we deserve everything that comes to us.
Although Force Awakens, I liked Last Jedi. It's tough for me to get behind specific scenes.
Fucking hate all three of them. Phantom Menace is better than any three of them.
Oh wow. Oh, I hate Phantom Menace.
I don't think it's good.
I do want to plug. You said you don't go on TikTok. You're not a TikTok.
No, I mean I have my TikTok, but I don't trust that fucking communist spyware.
I want to plug your cooking thing again on Instagram, and also just your Instagram if you want to, or anything you want to plug. It could be
My personal Instagram is private. But the cooking channel, once again, it's at goodcook_badchef. I try to post a video a week. I've been so tired from starting this new job this week that I've been bad about it. But tomorrow I'm planning on filming a few things and releasing them over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I'm going to put it in the description of this episode. So you already plugged your thing. Is there anything you want to plug that has nothing to do with you? It could be an artist. It can be,
Everyone should vote this year.
There we go. I want to have you and Robbie be in the same episode somehow.
Oh, I'm down. Can we drink whiskey?
Yeah.
All right, good.
I've actually never drank. No, I've drank whiskey one time.
Well, here, we'll do it. You can come over to my place or something, and we'll put Robbie on the laptop, and we'll have us a good little time.
There was, is whiskey your go-to?
Yeah.
Just straight up whiskey?
Yeah. It's not good, but yeah.
I gotta get into it. I tried to get into like, I don't know. I feel like the older I'm getting, I'm now getting used to just like alcohol, but I still can't get past tequila.
No, tequila is not about it. Whiskey's nice because it's like, in my opinion, it's the only one you can just drink straight and actually enjoy.
And also, I gotta, okay.
Good whiskeys. Like if we do a combined podcast, I'll buy some bottle of scotch or something and we'll sit down and get good and proper,
That works out. We'll get so drunk, we'll talk about politics, and it's still labeled as a comedy podcast, so whatever we say, we won't mean it.
Hey, man, yeah, you feed me enough drinks and get me going, I'll say some shit.
I'll talk about Bush even more. I'll talk about the bigger Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this has been Joseph, thank you for doing this episode. I'm so glad we finally did this.
Me too. Thank you, my friend. It was a pleasure.
It's been, but well, yeah, me, you, and Robbie would do an episode. But yeah, this has been episode Who the Fuck Chaos. I don't remember the number, but
I think you said 107.
107. 10. Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
you said sure. It, not me. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. All right, stay sexy. I'm gonna take that out.